Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Greetings to you and yours. This is Holy Living Nutrition, where we feed you the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I am your host, Dwayne Brasfield. Now, this is not a cookie-cutter program, so thick skin is required, but let's have some healthy discussions, amen? I'm excited to talk to you today because the topic today is, what is your pattern for prayer? I love the fact that prayer is something that we embrace and that's our connection to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and our Creator. It puts us in a position where we can be on the first-hand basis with Him, right? Jesus says that my sheep hear my voice. They understand my voice. And Jesus knows the voice of those who prayer is a part of their everyday life. So here at Holy Living Nutrition Podcast, this is a Christian 15-minute devotional, and it's geared to uplift you and enlighten you and hopefully teach you something along the way. Now, the scripture that I want to talk about today is Luke chapter 11, verses 2 through 4. It's one of my favorite topics because one of the things I enjoy is that Jesus gives us the opportunity here to tell us how to pray to the Creator, right? He puts us in a position for us to understand what it means to pray. But a lot of people get this wrong because they listen to the Lord's Prayer and they look at it as though it's some sort of ritual that you do, but that's not what he meant. He was using this as an example, teach us how to pray to the Lord. If you look here in verse 2, he said to his disciples when he asked them how to pray, he says, when you pray, Father, hallowed be thy name, your kingdom come. Give each of us our daily bread and forgive us for our sins, for we also forgave those who sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation. Amen. See, now, there's one thing that was clear to the disciples. Jesus had a prayer life like the likes of which they have never seen before. See, realizing that his communication with God, it created the deepest, most intense connection they've ever seen. They would pray in the past, but see, they asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. Jesus responded by giving them a model prayer. Now, the one we read in the passage that I just went over in Luke chapter 11, verses 2 through 4, right? Jesus didn't intend that this Lord's Prayer be something that his followers just recited, right? Because it wasn't about that. It had to have some feeling about behind it. Prayer, Jesus taught his followers about the basic elements we should include in all of our prayers. It's like an outline, right? I mean, first, he talked about because he is our Heavenly Father, there's no need that we have God don't already know about. His resources are unlimited and his power is indefinite. See, as the Father, he cares for his child, so God cares for his people. Second, we should pray that God's name would be revealed and esteemed. We put it on high, right? A name above all names. I mean, while God is our Heavenly Father, Jesus wants us to realize that he also is Almighty God and that we must lift up his name on high and put us in a position to understand that when we say God, we do not say that in vain. That is, we should pray that our lives will honor God's personal work, God's person, and everything he did for us. We at this time have to look at it this way. We do that because we trust him. That's why we honor him and we give him thanks. We obey him and we are constantly aware of his presence. Third, as followers of Jesus, we should pray that God's kingdom will come in us and on earth. We need to live in such a way that the kingdom of God will be seen in words and action, right? Seen through us. At the same time, we need to live in anticipation of Jesus' return and the establishment of his kingdom on earth. Now, remember, Jesus did promise to come back again. Let's not forget that in Matthew chapter 24. Number four, God to meet our daily needs and the needs of those that are around us. This directive brings the realm of prayer into the real world, see? Having prayed about God's kingdom, we are to look around and see people's needs. Only God can supply what they need, right? The tangible things we can give them, but the innermost things only God can provide, see? And he does so in response to prayer. In the Greek language, the word for give, right, it is a present imperative indicating that we're to ask God to continually meet our daily needs. When we realize that all we have to do is pray and we come directly to God, right, it's in God's hands. And as a result of his blessings in our lives, this prayer becomes a natural part of our daily conversation with God. See, it's not a ritual. I talk to God like I talk to one of my homeboys. I talk to God like I would talk to any friend because he is a friend. Fifth, we should talk about, when we talk about your patterns of prayer, the fifth thing is because sin created a barrier between us and God, it's imperative that we seek God's forgiveness every single day. That means we must first confess to him the sins we've committed, realizing that we have failed many times during the day to live up to the standard for our lives. And as we request God's forgiveness, we also need to consciously extend forgiveness to those who have wronged us. Number six, it talks about our prayers, right, should involve a request that God protects us from temptation. Of course, God never leads us into temptation. That's a result of our own sinful desires. But Jesus' statement here means that we need to ask for God's help in leading us away from temptation. A good prayer in this instance is, Lord, keep me from the inclinations of sin when I have the opportunity, and from the opportunity to sin when I have the inclination. Taking this prayer as a step to the Father, it's helpful to identify the specific areas where we're weak and ask God for the grace we need to stand strong against temptation in all those areas. It can be the temptation of gambling and lust and money and the sin that surrounds us every day, see. After giving his disciples this model prayer, Jesus told them that the key to the answered prayer was in the asking, see. God delights in meeting the needs of his children, but we must first ask. To help you follow the Lord's model, we need to ask. This is what I want you to do. I want you to jot down six parts of the Lord's Prayer in a small notebook and make it your prayer journal. And each day as you pray, allow these six points to guide you in prayer, right? Let's read it again. It says, Father, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, right? Give us each our daily bread and forgive us for our sins, for we also forgave everyone who sinned against us and lead us not into temptation. So when you talk about the Father, hallowed be thy name, do you glorify him? See? You thank him for your daily bread, right? Forgiveness of sins, leading us not into temptation. Do you make that a way of life? How? sorry about that, wrong button. Right away, I wanted to talk about how do we manifest that power? How do we manifest that relationship where we can build that power? Because the power doesn't come from within. The power comes from the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Wow, now that's a topic. See. So there's the baptism in the Holy Spirit. You know, it's a real taboo subject in the Christian world because some get it and some don't. I mean, can't totally release to what Jesus called the counselor, the director in our lives to help us get through the mess we call this world without it. Yet Christians seem to be at a crossroads about whether or not the baptism in the Holy Spirit is real. Well, the fact is, adult believers often act as if the Holy Spirit really was hidden in the church, in the church basement, and nobody can go down there, right? It's a scary, spooky place. They may know something about the Holy Spirit, but they don't know him personally or realize that he is the key in prayer to give you the power you need to get through your day, see? They don't realize that he is God in the same way the Son and the Father are God, see? What's your pattern for prayer? Do you rely on the Holy Spirit to direct and control your path? When they read the Bible, many people are surprised to find that the Holy Spirit was at the very dawn of time. I mean, go back to Genesis chapter 1, where it talks about when the Bible says the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. And many are amazed to find out that there are approximately 100 references to the Holy Spirit throughout the Old and New Testament. Nevertheless, the Spirit's role is fundamental, both to creation and the life of the believer. When a person comes to Jesus, he receives Christ into his heart, and the Spirit of God becomes joined with the Spirit of the believer. This indwelling Spirit responds to the life of Jesus in the believer's life. He reproduces that life. So what's the pattern for prayer? When a person comes to Jesus Christ, he can receive that power. The Pentecostal experience, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, was the secret to the powerful growth of the early church. It revolutionized believers and sent them as missionaries to the end of the known world. But once again, in the past 100 years, the Holy Spirit has been moving as promised by Joel. Over the centuries, the church drifted from the supernatural anointing that made the first century begin. We need to make sure it comes back because it's here, but all Christians don't believe. It is so important to put the event of the Holy Spirit in our spiritual lives and make sure it's in the proper order. What's your pattern for prayer? Do you allow the Holy Spirit to take hold of your prayer and take you to the next level? If you have received this wonderful experience, make sure you keep the Holy Spirit relationship strong and growing. There are no limits to what God can do through the vessel of the Holy Spirit. Until next time, this is Dwayne Brasfield. God bless, and I'll see you next time.
G-O-D. God, homie. K-Joe on the mic. B-flat on the track. G-O-D.